Come on in, Derek. We're going to multiply those cupcakes. Come on in, brother. So, all right. Okay. Well, but before we get started tonight singing, Dave Wakefield is going to come up and lead us, and Janie's going to play. We're going to sing tonight before we get started. I just wanted to extend a very special welcome to all of our new members, new participants in the Philippians study tonight. So great to have you. I think there are 7 or 8. Deborah, how many additional ladies did we end up with? That here, 6 or 7 ladies? 7 ladies and 2 men new in the study this spring for Philippians. So what a joy to have all of you. I know most of those new folks are here tonight, and the rest will be here next Monday night. So welcome to all of you veterans, all of you returning folks for Philippians, and also for all of you new folks here for Philippians. So Dave and Janie, you guys come and lead us, and we'll sing, and then Waylon will come and introduce us to our study in Philippians.
We're going to sing number 435, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I don't know, when you sing these hymns, just about every hymn has a little verse right underneath the caption, and I want to read the caption underneath What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It says, in everything by prayer and petition, present your request to God, Philippians 4:6. We're going to sing all 3 verses. So if you'll stand with me, please, 435, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptation? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for the privilege we have of gathering in your house on a Monday evening. We thank you, Father, for this past study of Job. We thank you, Father, for what you've taught us through Job's 3 friends, what you've taught us through Job. And Father, I just thankful so much that your word equips us to do your will and to be better prepared, Father, to deal with those who are suffering. And when we suffer ourselves, just pray, Father, that we would just hide your word in our heart. And Lord, tonight as we begin a new study in Philippians, I just pray that you would be with Waylon as he has the introduction.
I pray, Father, that we would stay motivated and we would be excited about coming back every Monday night, sharing with each other what you've laid on our hearts throughout the week. And Father, we're just so thankful that the Holy Spirit reveals to us what your word has for us. We just ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening. Yeah, it is a drawing, Greg. I'm glad you figured that out to start with. Does everybody have one of these tonight? If you don't have one, raise your hand. I'll get you one. There you go, Paul. David needs one back there. Anybody else have? That was your handout for tonight. Pardon? Well, yeah, it's invisible ink because it'll be your responsibility to put the ink on it. If you don't have ink with you, I know they put ink in those little places in front of those chairs. So what I'm trying to say is you're without excuse. You're without excuse. I know, and being a firefighter, I know that we could come up with some good excuses. Welcome to the Philippians studies. We continue with our study moving from Job into Philippians. I'll pass out the color pencils in a minute, David. There you go. It is TGIM. Thank God it's Monday. And I'm thankful for this opportunity to move from, we move from one servant of the Lord, Job, to another servant of the Lord. And that's Paul. And I really wanted to start out tonight. I looked at books trying to put together tonight, you know, an introduction. And then I read the introduction that they had in this book, our study guy. And everything I had wrote down is in that thing right there. I thought, why didn't I just look at that to start with? So, you know, what I'm trying to say is read that. It is a great introduction to the book of Philippians. I don't know that I can really add anything to it. I've got a little thing I want to add to it. When Paul's letter is written to the Philippian church, the people in Philippi, it's a letter of joy. This is where your handout comes in, your homework, your sheet. A letter of joy is what Paul has written to this church in Philippi. And so here's what I want you to do with that piece of paper. 16 times through the book of Philippians, we see the word joy, rejoice, or joyful used. Here's your preempt as far as what I want you to do. In Christ, we fill in the blank. One word is sufficient. I'm going to go ahead and take the no-brainer word from you. In Christ, we rejoice. I'm sorry. It's just the way I went ahead and took the easy one. You can say that way, or here's another way you may want to put it. In Christ, we have. Or in Christ, we are. There are your things you go with. And then put what you have out there. Don't get theological on me. Don't get super deep on me. Thinking about the book of Philippians, what you may know about it, what you don't know about it. Think about what Paul talks about in there. In Christ we rejoice. That's what I'm doing. Just one blank. Whatever you want to put in there. In Christ we have, in Christ we are, blank, you fill in the blank. Have at it. Get your little pen and have at it. And then you're going to turn them in to the lecturer tonight. I know how many of you in here, so I'm going to know the ones that don't get turned in. Don't look at your neighbor's paper. You know, just whatever on your heart. In Christ, we have, we are. We'll get started from there. Greg, if you'd be so kind to pick those up for me, I would appreciate it. You always choose that big guy. You didn't fill yours out, sir. Give them time to fill them out now, Greg. Make sure they had time. Remember, don't get too deep. Just in Christ we are. we have, or in Christ we what? Remember Job said in, when we did our study of Job, Job says, "For I know my Redeemer lives." Paul has that same mindset. Paul knew his Redeemer, Christ, lived. And he writes this letter to Philippians to encourage them about the Redeemer that they both were very well aware of. Now, Paul writes to Philippians. Philippians is a church that Paul loves. It's a connection with... Are you having some problems with them? Everybody turn to me and Gray. Thank you, Mark. You know what? I was good at that game. I was good at 52 card pickup. See, I'll just have to be flipping around now to look. Now, see, some of you I can see already were very studious. You took all three examples and answered. In Christ we, in Christ we have, and in Christ we are, and put one beside each one of them. You go to the valedictorian, ever who did that? You really only had to choose one, but that's good that you chose all three. Maybe I did a bad job of explaining how to do that, but I appreciate ever who did it that way. But Paul writes to the Philippians, and this is a church he loved. And they loved him. It was a connection there. They had a relationship. There's a special partnership between Paul and the believers from Philippi, that Philippian church. They were connected in the gospel. How so? What did the church at Philippi do as far as for Paul? They supported him on his mission trips, on his mission journeys. They supported him carrying the gospel to wherever. So it was a special connection. Matter of fact, it's such a unique connection that Paul has a connection with the Philippian church that he has with no other church. Did you know that? He uses a word in Philippians that is not used in any other of Paul's letters to any of his other churches. He says, "You are my true companions." When we get to that, that's in chapter 4 where he uses that. I'm going to practice that Greek word that he uses there. I practiced all day, and it just could not come to the crossroadian mind. So I just thought, well, we'll just keep working on that way. So when we get to that, hopefully I'll be able to pronounce it. Y'all be praying for me on that. If not, I'll just get Kenny Getz to pronounce it. Either way it worked. But he says, "You are my true companions." The only church he uses that term for throughout the whole New Testament. I thought that was pretty unique that Paul does that in a reference to that church. True companions share this desire to share the gospel of Christ and to spread it around the world. Paul's life was an example of that, carrying the gospel to wherever he was. When he writes the letter to Philippians, where is Paul? In jail, prison, chain wrapped around his arm and a chain wrapped around the guard's arm. And yet, he writes this letter of joy from being in prison. Now, I'm going to look at that, and when we do these, I know some of you put, "In Christ, we are joyful when we're in prison." Probably not. I probably won't find that one on there. Perhaps so. But we know that Paul shows that type of joy. I had written down, and if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open it up, because we're going to look at Philippians tonight. This is the introduction. We're going to go ahead and break into it. Philippians, I'll go ahead and tell you what we're going to look at is in chapter 3. So Philippians chapter 3 is where we're going to. Does anybody have anything written down in their Bibles about the book of Philippians that where you've heard it in a message or stood out? I'm going to share with you what I had about Philippians. Philippians is a church that you wanted to be a part of. I didn't say it was a perfect church, but it was a church that you wanted to be a part of. There was a relationship between Paul and the Philippians believers. There was a mutual love for one another. There was a mutual respect for one another. Matter of fact, Paul goes on to say that they are his joy and his crown. Now that tells you about the relationship that Paul had with the Philippians. They were true, mature believers. So Paul's not trying to get them straight on their theology. He's not writing to them and saying, whoa, y'all are really messing up here. It is a letter of joy to the Philippians about their faith and how their walk and how much they mean to him and he means to them. So, you know, this group of mature believers, they're not about, let's not just fit in. They're all about God's will and what God would have his word be done and carried to the nations and to the areas around Philippi and wherever Paul would go. So they're not make believers. They're the real deal. So when we study about these Philippians, it's an opportunity for us to look and see real deal believers and Paul, the connection that he has between them. I kind of wanted to take a look at Paul and what his joy was, his abiding joy for Christ. Paul's desire and his purpose is to draw closer to God. That's his right, to know Christ deeper. When we study this book, we'll see that. Paul wants Christ to become closer and closer to him and his walk with him. And the same thing for the Philippians. He wants them to get it too. What about with Job? Did that apply with Job? That Job would grow deeper in his walk with God? Not a doubt in my mind. When God spoke to him in that whirlwind, Job's walk with God got deeper. There for a while, all he could do was put his hand on his mouth and said, whoa, I really spoke out of turn. But ultimately, in the end, he realized much more about God than he did when he started with him, and he was God's servant. So it is about our study of Philippians in God's Word is knowing God deeper. I love what Adrian Rogers says in here about this very thing. And this is where we'll look at God's Word. We'll look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 tonight. Knowing God deeper. Listen to what Adrian Rogers says. I love the verse that he used because it made me think about Job and our study of Job. He says, of old have you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. This is exactly how God showed Job who he was. He explained creation to Job, and Job got a deeper understanding of who God was and who he was as man. In other words, there was a deeper relationship between God and Job. And also we see that with Paul. His desire is to grow more and more in knowing Christ. Now listen, this is what I'm trying to tie to here with what Adrian Rogers says. Even though I preached the gospel of Jesus Christ for more than 50 years, I always felt I was just on the threshold of discovering him. Did you hear what Adrian Rogers just said? Have you ever listened to Adrian Rogers preach? If you hadn't, you'd waste some good days, some good nights. Find out where Adrian Rogers is preaching on the radio and turn that brother on. Thank you, Herb. At 10:30, 92.5 at 10:30. Anyway, Adrian Rogers says, I always felt I was just on the threshold of discovering him. You hear what he's saying there? Knowing more about God. This is Adrian Rogers saying this. And we're speaking about Paul, and we found out about Job. Listen to what else he says. I wanted to move closer and closer to him and to learn more and more about him. Do you know what Paul said at the end of his ministry? That he may know God. You know what he uses? He quotes Philippians 3:10. Did he know God? Talking about Paul? Yes. But he knew so little about him. Now, I want to read to you. If you have your Bibles, look at verse 10 there. Paul says, that I may know him, speaking of Christ, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. If by, and this is verse 11, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, when you see right there where Paul says, know him, he's not speaking of just knowledge of Christ. He's talking about an experience with Christ, an intimacy with Christ, a personal relationship with Christ that grows deeper and deeper and deeper. We can come to all the Bible studies in the world to get knowledge, but that does us no good until we desire to grow closer to who Christ is in an intimate way, in a personal way, like you do with your mother and your father, your husband, your wife, your grandmother, your grandfather. You know them personally. You know what they're about. That's what Paul is talking about here. Know him in that way. And that's what Philippians explains to us. Listen to what Adrian Rogers goes on to say. Let me ask you a question. Did Christopher Columbus discover America? Well, he touched, this is Adrian Rogers, this is what Adrian Rogers, well, he touched the shores of America. But even today, there are thousands of unnamed lakes, forests, and more that no one has yet completely explored. There is so much in Christ. You may have touched on Christ, but God's plan is that you know him more and more each day. That's the point of why we're studying Philippians. To know Christ more than you did when you came in here tonight, more than I did when I woke up this morning and began to try to put all this together and saw that everything I had was already put together in that introduction. Remember, don't miss that introduction. It tells you about Philippians. It's a good go-to. So, in Christ we have. I'm going to read to you what you said. In Christ, we have hope. In Christ, we have peace. In Christ, we have love and strength. In Christ, we have salvation. I made a list. I've got a list up here, too. I was going to check them off, but that's one that I had on here. Paul speaks about that in Philippians. We'll study about that. In Christ, we have peace. In Christ, we are thankful. In Christ, we are joyful. In Christ, we thrive. You thought about that one? Do you realize Christ made us to thrive in him? God made us to thrive in Christ. I love that one right there. I didn't have that. In Christ, we are blessed beyond measure. In Christ, we rejoice. In Christ, we are saved. In Christ, we are forgiven. I had that one. In Christ, we have mercy. We abide in Christ. In Christ, okay. I'm going to just skip that one. Yeah, let me tell you, that was readable until Greg threw them cards down. I'm going to just tell you that right now. I don't know who. I apologize for what I missed, but blame Greg. He scrambled them words all up, them letters all up when he did that. I always told him, if you ever go on a mission trip with that brother, I'll just warn you. He's like a bull in a china shop. Get out of his way. He will. Amen. I don't know who's there, but trust me. In Christ we rejoice, have hope, righteousness, joy, a home, and peace. Let me just tell you something now. We're talking about the church at Philippi. We're talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. We're talking about them talking to one another about who Christ is in them and who Paul is, Christ is in Paul. That's what I'm hearing right now. That's why we're doing this right here tonight. So we share. Well, we come in here, we're a body. We're not individuals. In Christ, we have peace and love. In Christ, we rejoice. In Christ, we hope. We have comfort and hope. In Christ, we live more. In Christ, we move. None move. Okay. In Christ, we have salvation. You shook that card up again. Now, there's a blank. Now, you pure shook the words off that one. But I don't know who turned that one in, but Blaine Bragg. He shook the words off me. Okay. In Christ, we find salvation. We find joy. We rejoice. We have a wonderful Father. We see true love. Philippians, a letter of joy. 16 times joy is mentioned. I don't know who wrote that, but you were listening. Because you were just like writing, what, dictating what I said. That's good. All right, there's another valedictorian. In Christ is clear. Christ, we have joy. In Christ, we have love. In Christ, we are redeemed. In Christ, we have joy. Can do all things. Can put our trust. In Christ, I have joy. I love this right here because I might need to start handing these note cards out, because I'm looking at some of these cards and you wrote everything I said up to the point of writing down and filling that blank. I love that's good, Pittman. I didn't realize these little note cards were doing it. In Christ we trust. In Christ we love and have life and are redeemed. In Christ we rejoice. In Christ we pray. In Christ we love, are together, have life, have forgiveness, have everlasting, and have the Spirit. In Christ, we rejoice in Him. In Christ, we care. In Christ, we live. In Christ, we celebrate. We are redeemed. In Christ, we have joy. In Christ, we rejoice. In Christ, we rejoice always. In Christ, let's see. In Christ, we have joy. In Christ, we have joy, and in Christ we are joyous. Monday, 27th, letter of joy. Rejoice, you, youthful you. In Christ we rejoice. In Christ we have grace. In Christ we love and bless. In Christ, I like this one, believe. In Christ we believe. In Christ we have joy. In Christ we have hope. In Christ we have joy. In Christ we abide. In Christ we have joy. In Christ we have hope. In Christ we have eternal salvation. Amen. In Christ we have joy. In Christ we are loved. In Christ we have hope and salvation. We are made complete. We are born again. We are adopted sons of God in Christ. In Christ I am. I like that one. In Christ we have love. In Christ we give love. In Christ my debt is paid. In Christ we are alive. In Christ we have peace and joy. In Christ we have salvation. We are loved. In Christ we can maintain joy. In Christ we have love. In Christ we have freedom. In Christ we have His children. And then I'm back to the one I started with, hope, peace, and strength. I'm going to share with you from Philippians some of the things Paul writes in his letter, and you covered many of them right there, of what we're going to cover when we go over this wonderful letter of joy. Some call it a letter of love that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. We have the gospel. Paul speaks of that. We have the peace. Somebody had peace. But what peace is it that Paul speaks of in Philippians? A peace that transcends all understanding. It's kind of funny now. I grew up in the country all my life. I've heard a lot of hawks shrill. But now, from the study of Job, when I hear that hawk shrill, and I've heard one in the last couple of weeks three or four times, I think about what God's word said in Job. Job, did you give the hawk wisdom? There's a peace that comes over me now when I hear that hawk shrill that didn't before. That's the peace that transcends all understanding, that God speaks to us because we know Him deeper. That's why we study God's word, to know Him deeper. We have our citizenship. Paul speaks of that in Philippians. We are humbled. We are content. We are like-minded. All of these come from the study of Philippians that we will look into, that Paul writes to these believers at Philippi, that they were like-minded. Paul and the Philippians were like-minded. We are transformed. Somebody said we are strengthened. That's one of the other things Paul speaks of and covers. Now, here's one that wasn't in there. And I spoke of it, that I said it probably wouldn't be on there, that nobody would say, we are like Christ in prison. We are like Christ when we suffer. This is going to be in our study. In love, in Christ, we are called to press on. Paul speaks of that, pressing on toward the goal of the higher call. When we do that, we're growing deeper and deeper and deeper in that relationship that Adrian Rogers speaks about, that we're never going to solve it all. In Christ, we meditate. In Christ, we esteem others. Oh, how Job wished those three friends would have esteemed him a little bit, right or wrong. That's what we're learning in Philippians. Paul speaks to those Philippians, esteeming others. And then in Christ, we bow the knee. Every tongue will confess, and every knee will bow. Jesus Christ is Lord. We will see where Paul addresses that issue in Philippians. Here's where I'm going to end it tonight. In Christ, we know God. In Christ, we know God. And we know God better by the more and more we know Christ. Adrian Rogers said, well, how do we get to know God like that? This is what Adrian Rogers suggests, not what Waylon Holden suggests. Get to know God today. How do you do that? You can get outside and discover Him in His creation. Is that not amazing? We just finished the study of Job. How did God explain Himself to Job? By creation. Where were you, Job, when the measuring tape was laid out for the earth? Where were you, Job, when the proud waves were told, stop right here? Just trying to tell you, it don't take rocket science. When we studied the book of Romans, what did Paul say in the book of Romans? That man would be out without excuse for what reason? Because of what? Creation. Creation leaves us without excuse. So, when I hear that hawk shrill now, hallelujah, praise God. It's a different sound. You can dig into His Word. Philippians Bible study, amen. That's what we're going to do. We're going to finish strong. We're going to dig into the Word. All right, Adrian, we're with you on that one. Or perhaps reading a minor prophet. Don't get no ideas about the next study now, Kenny. Easy. Easy, Kenny. Let's just do Philippians, Kenny. In the Old Testament, minor prophets. But it's there. It is God's word. We don't take it out because we think it may be a little too hard. That's not what I'm saying. You can sit before Him in reverential silence as you meditate upon His holiness. Luann and I were talking tonight before y'all came in. I think she was really giving me a little confession time while she kind of missed some of Job, you know. I don't care, Luann. I love you. But no, she was talking about how special it is for her to get quiet with God. What does God tell us? Be still and know what? That I am God. To know Him deeper. Not get caught up in the rat race. Oh, it's out there. Get on the little wheel and spin around fast as you can. God says, be still. Be still and know that I am God. I look forward to this study. I'll pray for you, you pray for me, and how God will speak to us in Philippians. In Christ, we rejoice. Let's close in prayer. Holy and mighty God, Word of God, speak. Pour your Word over us, pour it in us, and then, Father, as Paul and the Philippians are our examples, let us pour the Word out of us, and to you be the glory. Father, keep us focused. Father, help us be still. Father, help us meditate on your living word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.